From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. We were pretty honored, I got to tell you all, here in our little Midwestern home. When President Bush came to Chicago earlier this week, he announced that the new parliament in Iraq represents, quote, a turning point in that beleaguered country. But then we found out from the Washington Post that, according to the president, there have been at least five turning points in Iraq, including Paul Bremer handing over authority in 2004, the 2005 elections, last October's constitutional elections, and the election of a parliament. The good news, though, is that with all these turning points, we have now made a complete circle and are heading back the way we came. We could provide the turning point in your life, because what you need to get out of your rut is Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine. The number to call to play our games is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. Now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi there.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Colchester, Connecticut.
What do you do there in beautiful Connecticut?
I run a transitional living program for adolescent boys, and in my spare time, I jump out of airplanes.
Does it make you that depressed, the first job?
I swear jumping out of airplanes is the only way to cope. It's a whole lot less scary.
Yeah, I'm sure, than dealing with adolescent boys. Well, welcome to our show, Jessica. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to an author and a correspondent for the Weekly Standard, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hey,
hi, P.J.
I did that once.
And what did you think?
I thought I'd never do this again. So I admire your courage, your fortitude.
Thank you so much.
Also say hello to the reliable sorceress of the Washington Post, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
Hello, Jessica.
And also say hello to a performer and the author of the new book, Schrodinger's Ball, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, Jessica. Let me ask you, I've been in a transitional phase since adolescence. Is that okay?
Give you a place to live if you need it.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
That's pretty much what I was asking.
Jessica, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off by playing Who's Carl This Time? That, of course, the game where Carl magically recreates, simply using the powers of his own voice, moments and people from the week's news. Your job, of course, identify or explain that 2 times out of 3. Do that, of course. You will win our prize, Carl's voice, on your home answering machine.
Excellent.
All right? Here we go. Here is your first quote.
Now I suppose they'll be the smartest guys in the jail cell.
That was a blogger named Stephen Bates, one of many, many people celebrating the guilty verdict delivered this week against whom?
I'm guessing that's Jeffrey Skilling and Ken Lay.
Right. Although, I do need to correct you. It's Kenny Lay and Jeff Skilling. Get your diminutive correct.
Sorry.
Well, here's a note for any budding white-collar criminals out there. If you get busted for enriching yourself through fraud and conspiracy as your company goes bankrupt, destroying the livelihood of thousands, the come on, it really wasn't that bad defense has been tried and it does not work. Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling, former whiz kids of Enron, got convicted on most of the counts against them. Ken Lay, in a statement after the verdict, said, quote, I believe God, in fact, is in control and that, indeed, God works all things for good. And then all the people cheering outside the Houston courtroom yelled, Amen, brother!
Oh, man. You know, usually when something like this happens, when a white-collar criminal has been caught, you want to see them put in the general prison population and not in a cushy white-collar jail.
Yeah.
But I'd really love to see Lay and Skilling be put with all these people whose 401ks have disappeared.
They could be in a lot more danger.
Exactly.
At Camp Fed. Than they are.
All right. Very good. Here is your next quote.
There are two sides to every story. There are certainly two sides to this story. There will be an appropriate time and forum when that can be explained.
So that was somebody promising that sometime soon we'd learn the other side of his story. The side we already know about involves him stuffing $90,000 in bribe money into his freezer. So who's going to reveal, really, just as soon as he can, the innocent explanation for all of this?
You know, the first time I heard that quote, I said, oh, that's Wait, Wait material.
Hey.
William Jefferson.
Yes, William Jefferson.
William Cold Cash Jefferson, as he is
called. Very Cold Cash.
The FBI says the Democratic congressman from New Orleans received $100,000 in cash as a bribe to help with a Nigerian business deal. And then he hid. Yeah, because, you know, how could that go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm involved in 7 of those now. It's all happening over email.
And then Mr. Jefferson then hid $90,000 of that neatly wrapped in Tupperware and plastic bags to prevent freezer burn in his freezer. Best part, they have tape of the soon-to-be ex-congressman joking with the FBI informant. And he was joking about, quote, all those damn notes we're writing to each other as if the FBI is watching.
In our strong investigative tradition, we at the Washington Post actually called some appliance experts to find out how common it is to keep cash in freezers.
Yes.
And it turns out it's very common, except the spokeswoman from GE said, quote, it's like a cat in a microwave. We don't keep track of things like that.
Because, to my mind, there are very few ways that that is like a cat in a microwave.
I guess you got to work at GE to really...
It's appliance humor.
Yeah.
Jessica, here is your next quote.
That was really, really uncalled for, Senator.
That was Dan Quayle responding to what remains the greatest single verbal smackdown in modern politics. During the 1988 vice presidential debate, the man who made Quayle whimper like a baby died this week at the age of 85. Who was it?
That was Lloyd Benson.
Yes, it was. The congressman and senator from Texas and later Treasury Secretary under Clinton had a successful but not particularly interesting career in politics, except, of course, for that one memorable moment in that 88 debate. Quayle, who had been criticized for his youth and inexperience, compared himself to John F. Kennedy, and Benson was ready for him. Can we say it all together? Can we do it? Ready? Here we go. I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you are no Jack Kennedy.
You know what the real tragedy of all this is?
What?
Dan Quayle had just come up with a comeback.
Just now?
Yeah. Now lost to history.
Carl, how did Jessica do in our quiz?
Very, very well, Peter. Jessica, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Yay.
Well done.
I'm a little disappointed. I've been practicing all week to say Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Ooh, you're good.
That was not bad.
Wow,
thank you.
You're good.
I've been practicing.
I can't say that.
That's, you did that well.
Thank you. But I'm thrilled to have Carl on my answer.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, now that you've said that over the phone and NSA has your phone
right. Yeah. Anybody who can pronounce it correctly is, of course, is a subject of suspicion, which is why I never do. Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Jessica, before we let you go. Traditionally, people who jump out of planes yell Geronimo. Is that what you yell?
No, I usually yell, see ya.
That's actually a hopeful phrase in that context. Jessica, thank you so much for playing our game.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Feuding and fussing and a fighting. Sometimes it gets to be exciting now. Don't like them hollering neighbors down by the creek. I'll be plumb out of neighbor next week.